and were usually somewhat tasteless, but they did have the attribute of staying edible for a long time, were easy to transport, and had the extra advantage their name suggested of being able to be heated in the pack at any time due to the self-heat mechanism they contained. But they were still a last-ditch emergency measure.
Never mind, young Dean.
Doc strode out into the corridor, stretching limbs cramped and weary from the jump.
Perhaps we can find some other comestibles in the kitchen areas that can be used for a more, passable repast before we avail ourselves of the showers. Always assuming that the water supply is still constant and the heating works in this relic of the past.
You're something of a relic yourself, you old buzzard, so watch what you're dismissing. And why do you always talk even weirder than normal after a jump?
Just because we live in times of darkness and despair, my dear doctor, there is no need for us to stop exercising our intellect and imagination. As I'm sure you are too well aware, if you can desist from the desire to extract humor from me at every opportunity.
His tone was harsh, but there was a twinkle in his still clear eyes.
Okay, people, let's stop arguing with each other and just get to business.
Yeah. Could you sleep?
I'd like to check out the armory as soon as possible. If they left this place more or less intact...
JB let his words trail off, but the implication was obvious. If the facilities on this level were as complete as its desertion would suggest, then there was a chance that the armory would also have been left in a fully stocked condition. Not only would this give them all a chance to replenish ammo stocks and perhaps pick new weapons, but it would also satisfy JB's desire to examine another fully stocked Predark arms dump.
But first things first.
Christy pulled off her fur coat, which was proving stifling in the temperature-regulated atmosphere.
Shower, food, sleep.
Go to it.
While Christy headed for the showers, Mildred made her way to the medical bay. As the only member of the group with Predark medical training, she was always keen to loot as many drugs, dressings, and medical supplies as possible from a still-stocked redoubt, filling the capacious pockets of her jacket with as much as she could carry. Many of the drugs had been vacuum-sealed with the intention of lasting for a long duration underground, and if she was able to find undamaged stocks, this could prove invaluable in the outside world. Leaving Christy to some privacy in the showers, Jack, Dean, and Doc made their way to the kitchens to see what they could find. Jack detoured to check out the dorms, his mind fixed on some much-needed rest, and a deep sleep untroubled by the need to stay on the alert. JB hung back to speak to Ryan.
This looks good. Food, showers, beds, and no intruders.
Yeah, a bit too fire-blasted good. You thinking what I am?
You find a redoubt this good, chances are that it's because no one can get in.
So what do you reckon's the reason? The upper levels are trashed in some way and impassable.
Or the outside is too hostile to support any life.
Or has us blocked in.
JB nodded. Ryan twitched a half-smile as he finished the thought.
There's always another jump if we can't get out. Who knows, there just might be enough here to let us stay and rest up a few days before.
I think we're okay for now. You go see Christy. I'll see if Millie needs any help.
You just don't want to go near the kitchens if Dean and Doc are in action.
JB didn't answer, only remarking after a pause before heading off to the medical bay.
I'll resist the urge to go straight to the armory.
Ryan watched his longtime friend disappear around the bend in the corridor before shaking his head and allowing himself a smile.
Need a hand?
Mildred stopped rummaging through the cupboard.
Sure. You could get the rest of these things open and see if there's anything worth saving.
JB moved across the large bay, past the row of couches that were designed for those who needed to be laid out while being treated, and joined Mildred at the far side of the room. He opened the cupboard door, casting an eye over the medical supplies within.
Looks like you hit the jackpot.
Mildred agreed, and enlisted his help in emptying the cupboards onto the couches, so that she could more easily survey the contents. It took them several trips to accomplish. JB stood back and let Mildred take the lead. He knew a little about medical supplies from his time with the trader. The old man had insisted that all his people know the rudiments of first aid, and there had also been a thriving trade in the few medical supplies and drugs that could be salvaged and used for barter. But Mildred was the expert. Her plaits swinging around her face, masking her expression as she muttered to herself, Mildred sifted through the vacuum packs of drugs and dressings. Some would be of little use on the outside, and those that were for minor ailments, such as the inoculations against the flu virus, were dismissed. People had to be hardier, and there was too little space for those drugs that couldn't be termed life-saving. Besides, many of the smaller bugs and viruses from pre-dark times had mutated into something that could no longer be combated by the old drug. The medicated dressings were always useful, and Mildred had to decide which to take by the matter of their size. Were they easy to stash in her jacket? Would they be too small to be of any practical use? Taking all the larger ones was no answer, as once the seal was broken, they were rendered useless and no longer sterile, so it would be all too easy to waste so much of the stuff. J.B. waited patiently while Mildred made her choices and placed them carefully in the pockets and bag sewn into the coat, turning it from just a protective garment into a walking repository. When she had finished, Mildred looked up at the silent armorer with a small smile.
Guess this'll be you tomorrow when you're in the armory, right?
J.B. nodded, grinning back at her.
Different thing, same purpose.
Ryan decided to shower before eating. He couldn't face Dean and Doc in the kitchens either before relaxing with a hot shower, assuming that the water heating system was still operative. The one-eyed warrior made his way to the shower rooms, noting the sound of running water as he drew near. It was unlikely that Christy would be showering under a cold stream, so he felt assured that the heating system was fine. Entering the communal area where Christy's clothes lay discarded, Brian picked a towel from a pile that was stacked in an open cupboard space. He shook it vigorously, and a fine rain of dust was released into the air. It was an indication of the gradual failure of the air conditioning, but was nowhere near enough for any of them to worry about.
Come on in, lover. The water's fine.
Ryan left the towel on the bench that ran around the walls and began to strip off his clothing, putting his blasters down first and unstrapping the panga from its sheath along his thigh.
How did you know it was me?
Who else would it be?
Good point.
Ryan stepped into the showers. A long stall with several shower heads supplying the hot water. Some of them were partially stoppered with scale, and so spluttered intermittently, while the majority sent streams of almost scalding water onto the one-eyed warrior's leathery skin. He shuddered involuntarily as the pinpoint needles of hot water hit his aching muscles, releasing the tension within them. Steam swabbed their bodies as he moved closer to Christy, her mass of Titian hair plastered to her scalp by the running water, her strongly muscled but still shapely frame glistening.
Feels good to get the sweat and dirt off, doesn't it?
Ryan turned his face into the jet stream of one shower head and felt it run down his face. His good eye closed against it, the water pounding a tattoo on his eyelid.
Feels even better to get the tightness out of my muscles. We need this now and again, this chance to relax and rest up.
Need it for other things, too.
Ryan opened his eye and found himself looking directly into Christie's inviting green eyes. Ryan Carter was a man of action, a practical man not given to flights of fancy, but he knew that Christie's muddy genes gave her abilities beyond everyday comprehension. One of the things Ryan had read in the fragments of old texts he was sometimes lucky enough to find was something about the eyes being windows to the soul. It was a notion mostly too fanciful for the bleak realities of the Deathlands. But looking at Christy, Ryan could believe that it was sometimes so, and that she could somehow see into him, whether he wanted her to or not. And right then, he wanted her to. Jack had checked the dorms and found an array of beds and also a supply of fresh clothing, untouched since before the new cost. Satisfied that they could all rest comfortably and refresh some items of clothing, he made his way back to the kitchens, his guts rumbling, reminding him that it was too long since he had last eaten. The four corners of the kitchens, large enough and supplied well enough to feed a full complement of personnel for an indefinite period in the event of a new cost, had been scoured. There was a plentiful supply of self-heats and bottled water, which would be plundered by all the companions in order to carry emergency supplies with them on a trek into the unknown. There were also other foodstuffs that, if not perishable, had a shelf life that would make them undoubtedly stale. Unwilling to use any of the self-heats, which were barely palatable, Doc and Dean had tried to concoct something edible from what was available to them. Neither was a particularly good cook, but between them they hoped to pull together a meal that would be both nourishing and, at least in some degree, palatable. Despite the fact that the meal was a bizarre stew of vacuum-packed rice, frozen vegetables of indeterminate origin, and a meat substitute made presentable by liberal use of spices and seasoning, it was good enough to keep the rest of the party happy. Even Jack, who found something wrong with almost any food that came his way, was able to enjoy the meal. With the medical supplies sorted by Mildred, and the self-heats and water sorted